Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help adult group leaders prepare to teach a Bible study group using Explore the Bible resources. Today, we'll answer three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss this week in our leader resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Dwayne McCreary. He is the manager over all of Lifeway's adult ongoing curriculum, and he teaches a Bible study at his church. Dwayne has years of experience when it comes to curriculum development, but he also has a new book that released in February called Marked by Prayer. Congrats, Dwayne, on the new book, and thank you for being on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for inviting me back, Amber, and thanks for mentioning the book. I hope people are encouraged by what they find in Marked by Prayer.
It'll be a good one. Well, today we're discussing session 10, and in this session, we'll examine Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, and verses 34 through 40. I'll begin by sharing some context. Well, the events that occurred in our study passage for today took place in Jesus's last week of public ministry. Just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 21, we read of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So this is Passion Week, and specifically the events of today's passage happened on Tuesday of that week, just prior to his crucifixion on Friday. As a reminder, Jesus had already predicted his death three different times, telling his disciples what was to come. Opposition had been growing between Jesus and the religious leaders in Jerusalem, especially after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So that story, we get it in John's gospel. It's not in Matthew's, but it is a bit of a turning point because at that point, the religious leaders really began to plot Jesus's death. Well, let's take a look at the passage. Our first set of verses are found in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. In this passage, the Pharisees and the Herodians wanted to catch Jesus in a verbal trap so that they might arrest and condemn him. They sent several people to Jesus to ask the question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And we see that in verse 17. So this was a trap. If Jesus approved of paying taxes, it could be viewed as support for the Roman occupation. If Jesus disapproved of paying taxes, it could be viewed as a treasonous crime against Rome. Jesus stunned them with his answer, "Give to human government what is due and give to God what is due to him." So Dwayne, why do we see in these verses, what's the big deal about calling out the Herodians?
Well, you know, Matthew points to the Pharisees and Herodians being together here. These were two folks that typically didn't associate with each other. The Pharisees saw Rome as oppressive, which they were. They also saw them as Gentile, which meant they viewed them as less than equal. The Herodians were Jews as well, but they were loyal to Herod Antipas, which also then meant they were friendly toward the Romans. So because of that, they hated each other. They were on two sides of the aisle, as you would think of it in those terms, and they saw a common threat in Jesus. That's what united them here, was the common threat of Jesus. They were willing to join forces if that meant they could rid themselves of Jesus. If they did rid themselves of Jesus, then they could duke it out with each other, but first they had to deal with him. So it makes sense for them to approach Jesus together, since half of the crowd would have been offended no matter what Jesus' response was. I do want to think about this question that was asked of them and how we might frame it in our world today. A question that we may hear is, what is our responsibility as citizens in a country with leaders we may or may not agree with? The danger of this lesson is that it becomes a political discussion and not a Bible study. Because we're going to have people in multiple camps present in our groups. There are going to be some that are pleased with the government, some that are displeased, and then a variety of degrees in between on multiple issues. So we're going to have to be wise that we keep in mind the context of this passage. You know, the government in Jesus' day had a two-tiered system under Roman control, and it was still kind of in a state of transition. It had been a republic, and now it was an empire after the assassination of Julius Caesar, and so they're still early in that transition. So what happens is this system was filled with competition for advancement up the ladder. And so there's this constant fear of someone getting ahead who you once stepped on or stepped over to advance. And that only fostered abuse and distrust. And so it was not a pretty place as far as rule was involved. Jesus' response here, by the way, is foundational for how believers are to relate today as citizens. The dig deeper that is featured in the resources points out that God ordains government. God is sovereign over government. God has a distinct role for the church and state, and that God calls for Christians to be faithful citizens. Romans 13, 1 through 7, and 1 Peter 2, 14 through 17 can give us some insight about these statements. The Romans 13 passage begins by just saying, let everyone submit to the governing authorities. This is Paul writing, who's going to be arrested and going to be executed by them. And here he is encouraging the Romans to submit to the governing authorities. The 1 Peter passage reminds us that we are to submit to them as well. Honor everyone, love the brothers. And then verse 17 ends by saying, honor the emperor. Once again, this is Peter writing, and Peter's going to be executed by that emperor that he's saying honor. So you see some interesting dynamics in the background with what they're calling the church to do and what they faced as individuals. Me personally, I find 1 Timothy chapter 2 an important part of this conversation, because it begins by saying, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. And then Timothy, or Paul says to Timothy, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And then he gives the reason. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to be reminded here that this call by Paul to Timothy to pray for the kings and everyone in authority, it's stated in the context of having proper worship, but it begins with this idea of a call to prayer. So the guiding principle here is reaching people. And at verse 4, elevates that God wants everyone to be saved. So when we think about how we pray for our government leaders, we pray for this, we pray for that. Ultimately, our prayer should be that the gospel is presented to all the people in the country in which we dwell. That changes our perspective on what it means to me to be a good citizen. Instead of, you know, we can pray for change, I get that. But it may be a wiser and a more godly prayer to pray for the salvation of our country, more so than some other things. And we want to keep that in mind when we're having this conversation.
Well, let's take a look at our next set of verses, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Another Pharisee, an expert in the law, approached Jesus and asked, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And that's verse 36. Jesus replied that the greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he followed this with a second command, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the Old Testament commands and teachings are fulfilled in these directives. Dwayne, talk to us about these verses. What should What should a group leader really pay attention here and bring out in their teaching?
Well, first of all, for us as teachers, we should learn from what Jesus did here. There were 613 laws that the Jewish people had, the Jewish leaders had. And they would debate from day to day which one was most important. So you can see why ranking them, we rank them as well. We rank our laws. Oh, well, this is a misdemeanor. This is a felony. This is a class A, class B, you know, all those kind of things. We rank our severity of the law. So you can understand why you would do that. So Jesus points to Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. And he gives the response, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he narrows all 613 of them into two. Mm-hmm. He makes the complex simple. And that is what a master teacher always does. He summed it up in such a way so that all the laws and prophets were included in that one summary, all of the Old Testament. And it would be true for the New Testament as well. And I think we should learn from him as a teacher. Sometimes we like to think of the complexity of something when really what makes us a good teacher is we're able to help folks understand it and help them understand the simplicity of something. And Jesus did that in this passage. So for us as teachers, we want to take note of that. These two things, though, are connected, loving God and loving our neighbor. And we want to focus on that when we're talking and sharing with our group. Here's a question that may spur some conversation. Can we truly love our neighbor without first loving God? Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, we talked about the rich young ruler when I was on the podcast. And he tried to do that. He tried to love his neighbor, and he still felt he was not complete or perfect because he didn't love God. He was doing those actions to earn God's favor, not because he already was in God's favor. Something that God's been teaching me pretty hard and heavy of late is that God rescued us. We love him as a result of being rescued, and that we seek to become like him, which is seen in how we relate to others. A point to note here is the Ten Commandments came after God delivered the people from slavery. We don't love him first, and then he rescues us because we deserved it. Because we don't love him, we love us. Now, we may fear him, but love of him is not on our minds until after we understand he rescued us. And so, when we get to this point, we need to think about that whole idea is that loving God makes it possible for us to truly love our neighbors. Otherwise, our motives are in question. Why we're doing it? Are we doing it because we want to look a certain way? Are we trying to do it to earn God's favor as opposed to I already have God's favor. I'm expressing what he's done in my life by caring for this person. Those are two very different things, and we need to help our group members understand that in this study.
That's helpful. That's really good. Each week on the podcast, we highlight something that we think group leaders should not miss in our leader resources. This is something that we consider to be a valuable tool that can really boost discussion. And so this week, I want to bring some attention to pack item number 6. So the leader pack is available every single quarter. It has physical posters and handouts that you can use with your group. It also includes a card in the pack that allows you to download digitally the posters and the handouts as well. So it's available two different ways. And this week, pack item number 6 is a poster. And in the teaching plan on page 111, it gives some instructions on how to use that poster in your discussion. So it's a little bit interactive. The poster is titled Loving God, Loving Others. And it shows you where in your discussion you can use this poster for like an engaging kind of activity. So you'll lead your adults to identify ways they can love God with their whole being and to love them their neighbors as themselves. And then you put it on the poster, and it kind of just gives some opportunity to think aloud, to brainstorm, and to get past kind of the surface answers or the ones that everyone's going to think about. So it's just a tool to help drive some engagement. Well, Dwayne, thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Hey, I enjoyed it, and I hope this helps folks out there prepare to lead their group in a meaningful way.
Well, don't miss next week's episode. Dwayne will be back on the podcast to discuss session 11. It'll be a study of Matthew 24, verses 36 through 51. We hope you'll join us.